This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hi, and welcome to the 45th. Rabia here, and this week, what is this week? Well, at least 68 of our show. I'm here with Susan Simpson. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Rabia.
How you doing?
Kind of wishing we weren't recording right now so I could follow the Rick Gates testimony.
Yeah, so what's going on right now? Is that being shown live?
No. So it's a closed courtroom. I'm not closed as in people can't be there, but there's no live tweeting of this and definitely no live footage. So the reporters are in the room.
Oh, so how are you following it?
The reporters are in the room. They run out. They tweet and text. And that's how the updates come. So he started testifying, I think, what, 20 minutes ago now?
And so he's testifying in the Manafort trial?
Yes, he is. And Rick Gates is the partner, or was a... He was a very, very important employee in the Davis-Manafort partnership, which is Manafort's main company. And anyway, Gates is the one who flipped back in, like, what, February or March?
Right.
And he pled guilty to a couple of smaller crimes. And now he's testifying against his ex-boss, ex-partner, who was facing basically life sentence in prison. Apparently, Manafort's icy stares are pretty epic as he's staring at Rick Gates. Yeah.
He does have kind of these kind of freaky, watery, scary eyes anyways that are like bordering on cataract-ish. But anyway.
The first headline we got from this testimony was Rick Gates testifies that he committed crimes with Manafort, which is pretty straightforward.
It's pretty straightforward. He's getting right to the point. How many people have testified so far?
Oh, God, a ton. Most of them were like vendors and like the accountants and people who knew about the finances. A lot of them got immunity because they were kind of involved in the shadiness. A Treasury agent testified earlier just about mostly procedural administrative stuff to say, like, hey, Manafort had all these bank accounts. They should have been registered and they weren't. And a bunch of accountants testified about how he engaged in general shadiness to basically hide income so he didn't pay taxes on it.
Open and shut case, it sounds like.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's definitely not, I wouldn't say it's open and shut. It's a very, very, very strong case. But with financial crimes and white collar crimes, people can weasel out of stuff easier than you think.
Do you think in the voir dire, do you think they're asking questions about political preference? Is that outside the scope of what you can voir dire jurors?
No, probably not voir dire, I would imagine. You couldn't choose a jury based on that. But if they had particular beliefs that made them unlikely to be able to be fair jurors, that could matter.
In this case, I wonder which that would be. Either way,
I mean if you're just an average Republican or average Democrat, that's not going to be a...
It wouldn't be an issue, yeah. Anything.
So we do know also Rick Gates has recently testified, like this afternoon, that he'd also embezzled money from Manafort. So Manafort's still in the government. There's Gates there embezzling hundreds of thousands from Manafort. So that's where the wrinkles come in, because what Manafort's going to claim is that Gates is the real brains behind the embezzlement operation. He's the real criminal. Mm-hmm. Manafort didn't know what was going on. Now, none of this is directly connected to the Trump-Russia stuff, but there are a lot of intriguing signs here about how this may develop into Trump-related issues later on. For instance, we know that Manafort was abso-fucking-lutely broke as of about 2015. So he was doing work in Ukraine with... I say it wrong every time.
Well, that was really recently. I thought he's had money for a long time. So he's newly rich.
Oh, no. He newly broke.
So he went broke in 2015, is what you're saying.
2014 is when Yanukovych, the guy he was working for, fled Ukraine for Russia. And he stopped getting the bills paid for his work over there for the Party of Regions, which is the political party that Yanukovych was part of. So 2015 comes around and suddenly his millions of dollars income every year is plummeting. And he has lots of expenses, lots of ostrich jackets to be buying.
I heard about that. 20,000 bucks for a... Why do that to an ostrich? That's terrible.
Like, it wasn't... I mean, I will say it's not like the worst jacket I've ever seen, but like... I mean, like for 20 or 30 bucks, sure, why not? But 15,000 is a little bit excessive for that.
Wait a minute. It doesn't have ostrich feathers on it, right?
It's like ostrich leather. Yeah.
Okay. It's all weird and unnecessary. And I read that he was paying his clothing. It would be the guy who, you know, custom crafts his clothing through it wasn't like check or cash or credit card. It was international money transfers.
Yeah. Direct wire from overseas bank accounts with unreported incomes. So yeah, but, and he went broke in 2015. And then in 2016, he suddenly, while still deeply in debt and like, you know, in like panic mode, no funds left. And he's busy forging loan applications so they can get money to keep himself going. He decides to spend his time working for free for the Trump campaign. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Generally, when you're like that desperate for money, dedicating yourself to an extremely overwhelming campaign for free is not the best way to fix your income situation. Unless, of course, there's a chance you plan to use your work on that campaign to generate a new income for yourself. Which could be where this is going later on. And again, it's not part of the current Manafort trial. But it does seem like suddenly in 2016, Manafort expected millions of dollars of income to come in as of November 2016.
Well, I do think that Mueller has this structured in a way that it'll be like ducks in a row, you know, it's one's going to impact the other. I guess Manafort's banking on a pardon, but that wouldn't prevent him being subpoenaed to testify about some of the things that, you know, are proven at least in this court. Right.
But he'll just keep pardoning him. He can commit perjury all he wants and then keep pardoning him. So that if we've gone that route, then it's not going to matter what happens.
I'm pretty sure we're on that road. Yeah. Things have been looking really good in the last week.
And it's going to be a tweet, too, to make it worse.
It'll be a tweet.
He's going to tweet out one day, like, I hereby pardon Manafort for everything bad.
By the powers vested in me.
I now pronounce you innocent.
And Manafort will get the tweet on his phone in the prison. That's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, his secret jail phone. To do a quick recap, so the trial started last Tuesday. It is moving lightning speed. And everyone keeps saying, oh, it's the rocket docket. That's how it rolls. I mean, yes, EDVA, Eastern Virginia, where this is happening, is called a rocket docket because it's fast.
Yeah.
But, like, I've practiced there, and it's not this fast. This is, like, insanely organized and insanely competent. I've never seen a complicated trial, or even, like, a regular uncomplicated trial, move at this pace. They've got all their shit together.
I mean, it's moving at this pace because the prosecutors got to have their cases. I mean, they've got their shit in order, and he's got a monstrous team. He's a huge army of prosecutors working on this, right?
So, and the defense could slow it down if they weren't prepared too. So it's a really competent prosecution team, really competent defense team, really competent judge, and it's all coming together to be like probably the world's fastest white collar prosecution I've seen.
So you've practiced in that court before. Is it the situation where they are actually recording it and at some later time that video or audio could be released, or
I have no idea. They record it now. It depends on the court reporter. Okay. I don't know if they do actually, because some courts tape it and then have later use that to help transcribe later. And some, right. I would guess they do, but if they do, it doesn't mean it's going to get made public.
It's still so archaic to me that this is like a thing. I mean, with digital everything.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So, well, thanks for the update. I guess we'll hear more about this next week. And it looks like if it's going this fast, it's not going to, it probably won't last more than a couple more weeks, right?
They're going to finish up this week, apparently.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. And so one more note about where this seems to be going in terms of the money laundering. One of the big problems here for the prosecution is that they have to prove intent. They have to show that not only was money being moved in ways that are illegal, but that it was because of Manafort and that he knew what he was doing, which someone like Manafort typically often doesn't do things themselves. They don't put their own name on like a sheet that says, hi, I'm doing a crime at Manafort.
Yeah, but he was like WhatsApping people to change their test. I mean, he was witness tampering.
Also Manafort, true. In this case, I think the tweet that sums it up best is from like Ashley Feinberg, and it's like, hi, I'm Paul Manafort, and I fucking love crimes. Because he does. So where this seems to be heading, though, is that not only was there money laundering going on in terms of direct money transfers from overseas accounts to luxury goods services in the U.S., which itself would be illegal because it's a way of dodging income tax requirements, there's also been a lot of testimony that there was forged invoices from these luxury good places. So, like, say there's an invoice for a second ostrich coat for Bijan clothing, whatever it is, out in California.
Right.
The testimony was that invoice was fake, that it was never issued by the clothing company, and that the money being paid for that second ostrich coat, and it's just an example, it's not actually one of the real invoices, was being paid from somewhere to somewhere unknown for fake reasons, which is
so we don't know what the invoices, like what company the invoices were for or what service or product they were for.
Wait, so they're fake invoices from like those luxury good companies, like fake work on like home gardening, fake home entertainment systems.
So if those companies didn't issue it and suddenly they're getting paid
for something, they didn't get paid for
it. They won't get the money.
They didn't get paid for it.
The money went somewhere else.
What seems to have happened is Manafort forged these fake invoices, knowing that his history of payments for all these expensive goods would make it look more normal. And he used those fake invoices to explain why he's wiring vast amounts of money to accounts in the U.S. from accounts overseas. So at some point...
And are these invoices that he's turned over to the... to the feds as them. Pretending that these are real?
They hint them. So these invoices were used for the banks. It's bank fraud.
Oh, okay.
So basically Manafort says, here's why I'm moving money. It's to buy my second ostrich coat. Here's an invoice to prove it. But he forged the invoices. So anyway, that's probably where we're going here.
Well, let's see where it's going to go. It'll wrap up pretty soon. All right. Let's talk about this past week.
Let me tell you the secret to a good night's sleep. First, you got to have a clear conscience. And well, if you listen to this podcast, I think you're on the right track. But next, and maybe even more importantly, you need the right mattress. While we can't really help fix the things you have done or not done, we do have the mattress covered with Helix. And that's because Helix is not just any old mattress. It is designed specifically for you. Look, you don't just pick up any old clothes off the rack. You got to make sure they fit you. You don't listen to podcasts that aren't designed for your interests and likes. Why would you buy a mattress that's generically made for just anybody? Now, Helix Sleep built a sleep quiz that takes 2 minutes to complete, and they use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper, a hot sleeper like me, whether you like a plush or firm bed, with Helix, there's no more guessing or confusion. All you got to do is go to helixsleep.com/45th, take their 2 minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. And amazingly, for couples, they can actually split the mattress right down the middle and provide individual support and the preferences in terms of how you like your mattress to feel differently for each side. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try out your Helix mattress for 100 nights risk-free. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off of every single mattress order. Get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/45th. Once again, that's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/45th for $125 off your mattress order. helixsleep.com/45th.
Is a chorus of boos and other chants from this Trump crowd here in Tampa, Florida. They're saying things like CNN sucks. CNN sucks. CNN sucks. CNN sucks.
So what you guys just listened to was a short clip from a rally that Trump held in Tampa this past week, where Jim Acosta, who's a CNN journalist, was basically trying to broadcast. He was standing with a microphone, surrounded by very, very angry. I mean, it was a mob. It was kind of scary. I would have been scared if I was him. And you guys could hear what was happening there. You know, they're chanting CNN sucks. But also, if you look at the pictures, they're like giving him the middle finger. I mean, it was pretty heated. Around the same time, you know, Trump's been like, he's on his media thing for quite a while now. Just last week, he tweeted a couple of things. He said, number one, the fake news media is going crazy and it's unhinged and ruining the lives of innocent and decent people. He also tweeted that in 7 years when he's out of office, he's being very optimistic there, media ratings will dry up and they will be gone. So you had like this whole thing happen with Acosta. And then I saw a clip from Brian Stelter, who is often I don't know if he's an anchor for MSNBC, but he's on there all the time. And let's listen to this clip.
Attacks on the media are having an effect. Threats against reporters are on the rise. But instead of me just telling you that, I want you to hear it for yourself. On Friday, a caller to C-SPAN said he's going to shoot me and Don Lemon if he sees us.
Brian Stelter and Don Lemon from CNN call Trump supporters all racist. They don't even know us.
Okay, let me just stop it right there. I've never called all Trump supporters racists. Neither has Don Lemon. So what this guy is about to say is predicated on a lie.
They don't even know these Americans out here, and they're calling us racist because we voted for Trump. Come on, give me a break. They started the war. I see them, I'm going to shoot them. Bye.
So we are not that long not that far after, you know, the journalists were killed, although that was, I think, more of a personal beef in Annapolis. And after this rally, Trump retweeted a video. So his son Eric Trump tweets a video with a caption, "Watch supporters of President Trump chant CNN sucks during Jim Acosta's live spot at Florida rally." Trump retweets it. A couple days later, they have a White House press briefing, and Sarah Sanders is asked if she agrees that if she thinks the press is not the enemy of the people, because Ivanka had said, "I don't think the press is the enemy of the people," which is interesting, but Sanders refused to answer, so Acosta walks out.
And he gave her three chances to answer, and she would not say. She just kept complaining about the media and how mean the media was to her. And no, it's basically the policy now that the U.S. presidential administration, that the media is definitely not the enemy of the people. According right. to the president himself, it is the enemy of the people.
And she said that the mob scene, I mean, she said those people, it was freedom of speech, and that she says the media continues to ratchet up the verbal assault against Trump. So, you know, when Acosta left the room, I tweeted, I said, you know, as far as I'm concerned, like they should, I feel like all these outlets should just stop sending reporters to these briefings or even covering his events, like have some like AP reporters, just, you know, like not the anchors that people see, you know, cover it just to make sure that it's covered, but give him no other oxygen from some of their prominent journalists. Otherwise, Sanders doing a briefing to an empty room, I think would be great. But I don't know. How do you feel about that? What do you think is a proper response? Like, how should the media respond to this? Because I really think that somebody's going to get hurt. And I mean, when I say somebody, yeah, I think somebody's going to get hurt. I think somebody prominent could get hurt at one of these rallies.
I do think, I mean, the rallies are often news because Trump often says things that are newsworthy. I do think what's absurd and extreme is this live streaming of every single rally.
Right.
That should not be going on. Reporting on the rally should be. And the reporters have to be there. And what we're saying is, I mean, horrifying is not even enough of a word there. On the other hand, someone made a comment about the rally at Tampa, which, looking at some more footage of the rally and looking at some of the reports from the reporters there, made more sense. And they said, this is basically the crowd at the wrestling event. And it kind of is, because after the rally, or like when you know, there's a pause and stuff, you could see people in the crowd, the ones who've been like yelling and jeering and like saying fake news needs to go and like making almost violent sort of gestures and verbal comments to the media. They had asked to pose with selfies with them, like smiling right. and laughing and being friendly. And it's almost like the media is the heel here, and that they know their role is to boo the heel and to jeer at him. But
So you think it's like a WWF type of, yeah. WWE, whatever it's called now, type of thing, where they're all kind of like playing the game?
I think some are. I think for a lot of them, it doesn't mean it's less dangerous. Doesn't mean it's like not actually a huge problem here. And it certainly doesn't mean that all of them feel that way. But it does seem like a very large number of the ones who are doing this behavior are treating it in that sort of WWF mindset. It's a play that they're a part of, and they know their role is to jeer the heel, the bad guy, you know, mm-hmm. which in this case is the media. So that explains
the iron shake.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why so many of them are engaging in this. But once the moment's over, they want a picture with the heel. They want a picture with the media. That's a celebrity still. I don't think it necessarily means that every person engaged in those crowds is actually bloodthirsty and seeking the media's blood. And it may still end up in bloodshed. But I think that's part of the mindset here that Trump has identified and is cultivating.
Right. Well, I mean, he likes a spectacle, but the thing is, it's really, it just takes one. It takes one person who's taking this shit seriously. And especially, yeah. It wasn't just Tampa. He was also in Pennsylvania last week. I think he had two or three rallies. I lost track. But both of these rallies, something else was showing up that I don't know if it's shown up before in this, like, in such a visible way. And that is people who seem to be more than just kind of WWE, WWF type of, you know.
Oh, no, they're true believers.
spectators. Right? There's some true believers, and we're talking about QAnon here.
QAnon.
Is that how it's pronounced? I have no idea.
It's been going on since October, so this is not a new phenomenon. And I've kind of stayed away from it because it's so stupid that I didn't care. But now it's all over the place. Now it's definitely entering mainstream media discourse. The best way to summarize it is it's just like a batshit insane conspiracy theory spread on like 4chan boards. That's really what it is.
But at the rallies, what's happening is people are showing up now, at least in the last week, you know, wearing t-shirts and like handing out, they've got these little like coins that are like some kind of collector's coins that are QAnon coins. You know, they've got this one guy is holding a Q sign. I mean, these are true believers. So let's give a little bit of history about this, whatever this, all this is. The first time I heard anything about this was Pizzagate. But when I did a little digging, it seems like it didn't actually become a thing until after Pizzagate.
This is October is when Q started. 2017.
This past October. Yeah. 2017. Okay. So apparently there was an anonymous poster by going by Q, just the letter Q, posted in 4chan. And this is what the initial post read. HRC, Hillary Rodham Clinton, extradition already in motion, effective yesterday with several countries in case of cross-border run. Passport approved to be flag, effective 10:30, October 30th at 12:01 a.m. Expect massive riots organized in defiance and others fleeing the U.S. to occur. USMs, I guess, military will conduct the operation while the National Guard is activated. Proof check. Locate a National Guard member and ask if they've been activated for duty on October 30th across major cities. The second time they posted, Hillary Clinton will be arrested between 7:45 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Monday, the morning of October 30th, 2017. That's where it began.
Yeah. To give a bit of backstory here, what it seems like Q is supposed to be is like it's a reference to Q clearance, which apparently is like the highest clearance for like Department of Energy in terms of nuclear secrets. So that's sort of a reference to someone who has extremely high security access.
Yeah. Yeah. The theory is that this is somebody in military intelligence who maybe one of the theories, but somebody who is in the know. And somebody or a group of people, I mean, I guess, I don't know, whatever it is, but it's an entity that's in the know that is also connected to the president, also briefs the president. I've heard a number of supporters say, at least, but the interesting thing is, after a couple of these rallies last week, I saw clips of people, like, you know, reporters asking, what is Q? And there's answers all over the place. Plenty of people had no idea. But the basic premise seems like this is an entity that is going to help Trump against the fight against the deep state.
No, against pedophile rings, mostly.
Okay.
The primary concern is pedophile rings. But the deep state the deep state exists and has a deep state, so they can have these pedophile rings. That's the purpose of it. So that's what Q is supposedly fighting. Have you heard the latest, the theory about who Q really is?
Ooh.
Q is actually JFK Jr., who faked his death.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay. I'm dead serious. I didn't believe it either. But literally, people will believe right now that JFK Jr., who died in 99 in a plane crash, along with his wife and his wife's sister, that was all faked so that he could go undercover, so the deep state couldn't kill him like they killed his dad, so that he could later, 20 years later, work with Trump to expose pedophile rings by becoming a person who leaks all the sensitive detail of their plan on the internet. Yeah. And they have like pictures of someone at Trump's rallies who looks nothing like JFK Jr. and they claim is JFK Jr. and his wife.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm going to have to Google that, and I just really don't want to, but I will, because I got to take a look at this. Has he aged well? I guess it's
no. Like, I swear to God, like, if they think JFK Jr. would be that ugly at 50, they're 50 whatever, they're wrong. I have to believe he'd be more attractive.
He would probably be more attractive, exactly. He's like now the silver fox.
Yeah.
Most people don't mind paying a little bit more for good quality, but would you buy a t-shirt for $50 if it only costs $7 to make? I wouldn't. And with Everlane, I don't have to, because Everlane makes premium essentials, only essentials, using the finest materials without any traditional markups. And they tell you the real cost, so you know you are never overpaying. Can you imagine that? Have you ever bought anything from any retailer anywhere that's actually told you how much it costs to produce the item that you are buying from them? But Everlane wants you to know what you're paying for and why. They are radically transparent about every single step in their process, from the materials they use, where they come from, to the ethical factories they work with. Because Everlane sells clothing directly to you, their prices are 30 to 50% lower than traditional retailers. And their clothes look better, they cost less, they last longer. And once again, they are essentials, the kinds of things we all have and need in our closet, but the kinds of things we want to hold on to. For example, their cotton crew t-shirts, exactly what they should be. Simple, stylish, and made from beautiful quality materials. Some of the items they have for women, I mean, they're just beautiful. They have a cashmere crew, a silk short sleeve square t-shirt. I mean, things that you're going to
wear over and over and over again. A couple of my favorites are the day heel and the day flat. Well, first of all, because I love shoes, but also because I love shoes that I can rely on, that look and feel like they're great quality and that go with all kinds of different wardrobe needs, whether I want to go casual, whether I want to go, you know, a little dressy, business, whatever. And the day flat and the day heel are both beautiful shoes that work with so many different looks. Everlane's Timeless Essentials are exactly what you're looking for. No frills, just quality. And right now, you can check out our personalized collection at everlane.com/45th. Plus, you will get free shipping on your first order. So check it out. That's everlane.com/45th. Once again, everlane.com/45th.
Well, you know, one of the most nefarious things, you know, like you said, I mean, like, you know, we didn't not paying a lot of attention because of a stupid fringe group, and the internet is full of shit like this. Reddit, 4chan, there's so much crazy crap. But one of the most, like, kind of scary things about this to me is that apparently people who, you know, really are like are the true believers here, what they think is that even when Trump, basically the reason that they have nothing to say or have no reaction to Trump constantly messing up, saying stupid stuff, totally make them shit, getting facts like history, just getting things completely wrong, is because it's all code. Mm-hmm. In one report I read, it said that Q followers find rationales that are, you know, obviously unproven, implausible, explain away the discrepancies in all of Trump's stupid shit. Whenever he messes up somewhere, they're like, it is on purpose. They're like, Trump is basically sending us a signal. One of the, for example, they're saying that when Trump makes a gaffe on Twitter, or you know how he capitalizes weird things, like because I also wonder, I'm like, that's that code for something? Why is he capitalizing like random letters? They think it's some kind of a messenger's proof, and he's making a nod to followers in on the conspiracy. We have to listen to this one clip.
How quickly after that did you know that like this had become a big deal?
I was driving home and he jumped on his iPad.
Yes, I always go to the Great Awakening on Reddit. It's like my site for the Q. And somebody said to the guy with the Q cutout, Q's looking for you. And I guess Q did post while we were there. Trump pointed you out purposely. We had no clue. And then everybody's like, Q and half the world's looking for you. It's confirmed.
Yeah.
Confirmed
that it's Trump. It's not him, but it's the Q team. And he validates it by doing those little things.
Mm-hmm.
Letting us know that, you know, he hears us and, you know, we're on the same, it's the Q movement team.
Is this a fun thing to know about, a fun thing to be a part
yes.
of?
It's fun because things get revealed.
It's fun because we know before it's going to happen a lot of times. So yes. Think of it. When things are happening, we got a smirk on our face and go, Q told us. For instance, Q has told us at 4 a.m., media gets their talking points at 4 a.m. And that's how they start. So at 4 a.m., whatever the talking points is, then you look at all the media playing, and I don't know if you've seen that video with the media starts out with one and they keep adding blocks, and before you know it, they're all saying the same thing.
I know this wasn't like a big drop, but this was just like an anonymous, which is part of the Q, Anon, had mentioned a couple months beforehand, said, can we just get proof from the president, you know, him to say something, like tip top or tippy top. And then Easter, a couple weeks later, he was up with the Easter Bunny. Now everybody kept saying, follow the white rabbit. Now Trump's standing next to a white rabbit.
And we keep it in tip-top shape. We call it sometimes tippy-top shape.
All right. So, Trump's, I mean, you know.
It's basically Nostradamus.
Right. Well, Nostradamus or he really is somebody, is an entity that knows, that just knows, that is working with the government, working with Trump.
JFK Jr. would not know what Trump's going to say next.
No, but what they're saying is that, you know, QAnon feeds Trump these things and say, you know what, I'm going to drop this as a heads up. Now you make reference to it. So our believers, like, we just come full circle. We're like, yep, we were waiting for it. We knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, okay, the White House is definitely aware of QAnon. They know what's going on. They have not denounced it. Sean Spicer did. He said it's not real. But the White House itself is kind of indulging this theory. I wonder how long they're going to be able to do that, because the central tenet of QAnon is that, in fact, the Mueller investigation is a cover. Like, Mueller is actually secretly working with Trump. They are best buddies. They are combining forces to take down the pedophile rings. So eventually it's going to become very clear that Mueller is not working with Trump. And I don't know where QAnon is going to go from there. But I think it's, I do believe.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is like a meta. That is like a, what's it called? Inception level.
Oh yeah. They fully believe that Mueller is actually on Team Trump here. And this is all, the whole investigation is a cover story. So they can do all the operations and do all their actions and get payment for the attorneys, bring a team together so they can really target Hillary and her pedophile ring.
Oh.
But
well, it seems like this movement, I mean, like, you know, I read about it, I don't know if it's mainstreaming, but it's definitely, I would call it Trump streaming. Like, it seems like, yeah, it's gaining force inside the MAGA movement. You know, they're saying that, so, you know, Reddit had one of their forums, which was removed after the Pizzagate thing happened. But now it just, you know, obviously came back to life under something called Great Awakening. That's a subreddit, has 50,000 subscribers. There's billboards in Atlanta and Oklahoma that implore drivers to check out QAnon. There are, like we said, you know, families showing up wearing the T-shirts at the rallies, apparently. And these are some stories that I found, but I had no idea because I hadn't seen them reported, actually, that last month, an armed QAnon follower blocked traffic at the Hoover Dam.
Oh, yeah.
I totally did not hear that reported anywhere.
Yeah. That guy's nuts. He's now just telling he's written letters saying that his only communications with his attorney, like his public defender, have to be through Laura Loomer, who's like this right wing Twitter troll.
Oh my God.
He'll only communicate with her. But the thing is,
and then she talks to the lawyer. And well, what lawyer will take this case?
Well, it's public defender, so yeah.
Well, okay.
The thing is, it is not clear how big this movement really is. I have not seen anything to show that it's actually a significant number of people believe in this. It's definitely not no people. Like, there is a group that believes in this. But on the other hand, there are flat earthers out there too. So it's mm-hmm. not like. And there are Illuminati believers. I mean, there's people who believe this kind of crazy shit. And it's not clear to me that what we're talking about with QAnon, it was really that much bigger than any other sort of like fringe conspiracy. It's bigger than flat earthers, but hopefully it's not.
See, here's the thing, Susan. If I hadn't watched the Tea Party turn into something real, I wouldn't be as worried. If we hadn't witnessed neo-Nazis in this country become something like that, are like, you know, now experiencing like a second renaissance. I mean, like, that's why I agree what you're saying. I still don't think, you know, probably a lot of them are, and I mean, sure, even a lot of those subscribers, just people who are just kind of watching it, following it, amused by it, entertained by it, it's stupid. But it does serve this president. And I bet you that in no situation is he going to disavow them, right? Because he doesn't care as long as he has support from whoever, it doesn't matter how crazy, racist, violent, whatever. Oh, yeah. The son of Sam could be a Trump supporter and Trump would be like, yes, I'm happy with it. Although I think he's dead. But anyway.
Eventually, he's going to tweet some kind of QAnon stuff. It's a matter of time. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that the QAnon people are crazy about their belief that they're getting signals from the White House supporting QAnon. Mm-hmm. There is some stuff out there that kind of could be read to say that Trump is, you know, giving them signals. Like in one video he posted on the White House Twitter account, like instead he's trying to say like, you will see or something. And he says Q will see instead, which could be him.
Oh God.
Yeah. So, you know, who knows? It doesn't really matter. Cause everything
could be just his fat thumbs.
No, he said this out loud, like Q will see instead of you will see or something.
Oh, is that right?
So I would not be shocked at all if Trump embraces it, because again, this is the birther we're talking about here. He would believe in crazy ass shit like this. So at that point, it'll probably get more serious. But I mean,
last week apparently a group called Veterans on Patrol, that's the name of the group, took over a homeless camp and claimed it was the site of child sex trafficking. Yeah, I'm giggling, but yeah, I mean, these kind of vigilante stupidness. It could just grow. And I'm kind of fascinated if that is because I thought it was more about, I know there was some pedophile stuff, but I thought it was mostly about fighting deep state stuff. It's weird to me that would be like a priority. Is it? I mean, not that I'm opposed to that. I think that's a good priority for a group to have, but
it's about projection. Everything Trump does is projection. Trump obviously has talked about like dating underage girls. He's been at parties with underage girls where they're like coke parties and they're farmed out to older men. Like, he has a long record of not supporting efforts to stop this kind of trafficking. Like, one of his business partners got caught trafficking underage girls onto a boat in Turkey for the oligarchs there to be with. So I think part of his projection, like, this is something that Trump himself does, and he's covering for it by claiming he's actually there fighting this. And also because it's such a, I mean, this is not, in the history of conspiracy theories, this whole, like, underground pedophile sex cult thing has been a very, has a long tradition. It's like Satanic Panic in the 90s and, like, the daycare scares, but like, Satanists really want to
abuse
children. So it's a pretty common trope. It's a very flexible ideology. Anything Trump doesn't like becomes part of it. So, like, LeBron James is now a part of it. He is now a member of the Illuminati and helping to abuse children because Trump tweeted that he didn't like.
He called LeBron dumb. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened with LeBron last week? Because I didn't follow it too closely.
Like, honestly, I know who LeBron James is, and that's kind of my limit, my knowledge. I know
that's
he's,
about it.
He's the GOAT.
We need Siraj here to talk about this.
Yeah, we need, like, Siraj to tell us, like, why. I mean, he's a good player who seems like he's real, like, I mean, I'm sure there's people don't like him for sports reasons, but he seems like a very straight up kind of dude who's done a lot for.
Right, like a conscientious guy, right? So he was on the Don Lemon show, I think, talking about his new school, right? The I Promise School.
Yeah.
And other things. And I don't know if, I guess Trump must have come up somehow. I have no idea. And then Trump can't stop himself from criticizing black athletes. I think that is some deep ass insecurity, by the way, coupled with his racism.
Yeah.
But he also tweeted about Don Lemon. He said, I think he said, you know, Don Lemon was the dumbest until LeBron on TV until LeBron was, or something like that. So in one tweet, he basically insulted two black guys on TV. And now you're saying it's part of QAnon's conspiracy stuff, huh?
Well, anyone.
Oh my God. Wait, do they think his school is part of the pedophilia ring?
Yeah, they think all kinds. Like, they think he's literally, like, part of this pedophile ring. He's supporting it. And the reason Trump tweeted about him is because soon we'll find out that it wasn't just him, like, being a baby and having a tantrum. He was actually, like, letting us know, by the way, LeBron's part of these child sex rings. So we shouldn't like him either.
Yeah. One of the theories I read, I thought was, I mean, I guess they're all kind of crazy, but one of them was like, you know, I mean, what happens when, for example, one of these prophecies, like the original posting doesn't come true, that Hillary doesn't get arrested at this time and is extradited. But basically now the explanation is that, oh, she, instead of arresting her because I guess to avoid civil war or whatever and mass riots, they instead secretly collared her and have an ankle bracelet on her.
That's why her leg was broken. That's right. Because she sprained, so yeah. She and McCain both apparently at some point hurt their legs and had to wear casts, and they were wearing the cast to cover the fact that they had been arrested and were wearing a GPS home monitoring device.
Oh boy.
So okay, here the question is, who is Q? Q is an anonymous person. They can mostly tell it's the same person or same group of people because they have a way of signaling. You know, it's the original person who did this, but it's not actually fail-proof. So it's possible that what we're seeing is not just one Q person. And my favorite theory
is it the Russians? That's what I want to know. Is it the Russians?
My favorite theory is that it's Sacha Baron Cohen. This is going to be part of his show.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That would be the best case scenario. The other,
you know what? His con has been pretty long. He's spent some time. Actually, that would line up with the timing of, like, when he was. Yep.
So that, and there's other people who think that QAnon is another Russian disinformation technique, which at first, like, you know, I'm not necessarily convinced by that. Part of me wants to think that, like, anyone intentionally having disinfo would make it better in the QAnon shit, but that's not actually true. And it can't lie. It's been effective to a certain degree.
Right.
But the reason I can't quite entirely dismiss that is because of Jade Helm. Do you remember Jade Helm at all?
No.
This was in 2015, and it was the QAnon of 2015, and it was another batshit conspiracy theory based on a belief that the U.S. military had some exercises going on called Jade Helm, and conspiracy theories started springing up everywhere that were pretty intense about how Jade Helm 15 was really, I'm not even sure what the whole the aim of the conspiracy was, but basically take over the U.S. and somehow declare martial law, something along those lines. And it was pretty batshit, too. Like, it was not even, it was just as stupid as QAnon in terms of actual, like, evidence and content. But we know now that the Russians were involved in fueling hysteria about that whole issue. They were online trying to get this going and to make it more of a thing people were upset about and thinking about and talking about. And they had activists who were, like, behind the groups that sprung up to try and oppose Jade Helm 15. So, as much as I don't want to believe it, I think it entirely as plausible that it is a Russian campaign. Or, more likely, it's a natural troll campaign that the Russians have latched onto.
I'm guessing... I guess there's no incentive at this point for, like, the Department of Justice or any kind of law enforcement agency to be trying to look into this. I mean...
Oh, they are. They've got to look into it.
You think so? And oh, I'm sure they're tracking it, but having to figure out who it is, identify it. You know, it's interesting. I got... my husband and I, we both got emails to our personal email accounts about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago. I can't remember. And our personal email accounts are not publicly available. Most people want to contact me. If they don't know me directly, they will go to my website or they'll go to Undisclosed or something. You know, they'll find a way to like contact me using a contact page online. And then it comes to my email box. But somebody who had my husband's personal email address and mine and yours too. That's right. You were part of that too. Oh my God. Sent these horrible, horrible, threatening, terrible messages, threatening like my daughter, threatening us, you know, I mean, threatening violence. Right. And it was turned over to the FBI. They have been looking at this for weeks now and they can't figure it out. And I'm thinking this is not whoever did this. It's not like some kind of, it can't be so sophisticated that this is somebody who definitely knows us. They know the names, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They know our personal addresses. So if the FBI can't figure that out, how do they figure anything out? Especially like QAnon, there's no way. It could be from anywhere in the world going through all these proxies.
Yeah.
But
it's different between someone who's still posting and ongoing posts are happening where you can monitor in real time versus trying to figure out who has an anonymous email account they've registered and used in the past and they're only alerted to after the fact.
I guess in my head, it's like there's like these series of like, you know, the messages go or whatever. The message goes like from one place to another and like you can – there's footprints along the way and you can just – there's got to be the forensic mechanism to track it back, even with like the blocking stuff that people like the layperson would use, right? I mean, there's there's some people who obviously
are anonymous email. You can't use that.
I feel like they must know how to. Anyway, I'm still waiting on news from that. So I guess somebody's keeping an eye on this, and somebody out there knows who QAnon is, but I'm guessing it's more than one person.
Yeah,
it could just be like you said. It would be awesome. It was Sacha Baron Cohen, whatever his name is,
or if it's just anyway. A troll. This person's gonna make their name forever when they do the big unveil.
That's like, true. But the true believers will say that's also part of the game too. Like,
of course it was.
This is set up.
That's the whole point of a conspiracy theory. You can't falsify it, no matter what happens. There is zero evidence that will ever accept that it's fake. But still, they can prove it for everyone who's not insane. They can prove it to them. And they will, like, I will award them the troll trophy of the year. Like, 2018 best troll goes to you, sir.
Well, here's the thing. I will say, as disturbing as it was to see that, it wasn't the most shocking thing to me that of the images that came out of the rally. The most shocking thing to me was an image of two men. I don't know if you saw it. And maybe I don't know if they were the only two wearing T-shirts that said, I'd rather be Russian than a Democrat. Did you see that?
Yeah. It means that they'd be white. In a white society, then.
Well, there are white Democrats. Yeah, but that's also like a clear signal that people have gone beyond the point of thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I guess colluding with Russia would be a bad thing to Giuliani, or is it really a crime? And so what? What's wrong with Russia? Let's all be Russians. We're fine. I mean,
Republicans are like spinning in his graves. They've done polls. Republicans are largely not concerned or are not bothered or don't think it's bad in the first place. For Russia to do this, for Trump to work with them. It's not a huge percentage of the American population. It's just a huge percentage of Trump supporters. So Republicans are like, I think they're like 75% on board with that to some degree or another. So not all are in favor of it happening, but there's like only 26%, I think, who are like adamantly opposed to it and think it's a big deal.
The normalization of it has happened very, very quickly, like so quickly. Mm-hmm. It's kind of shocking. Well, apparently there was an anchor in Russian TV, RT TV, where they're showing the T-shirts and saying, oh, these things are selling like hotcakes in America. And I guess maybe they are in some places. All right. Some other news from last week. North Korea returned allegedly the remains of 55 servicemen. And Trump had just one of the most obnoxious tweets ever about it. This is what he tweeted. Basically, it's like he's talking to Kim Jong-un and like directly. He goes, I'm not at all surprised that you took this kind action. Also, thank you for your nice letter. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah.
What? in the fuck?
Trump's delusional. He really truly believes that his one meeting with Kim Jong-un mostly fixed the problem, and that Kim Jong-un now gets him, they're on the same wavelength, and he's fixed the problem. They are now talking about a second meeting in the near future. So they know there's more work to be done, but Trump has no comprehension.
Not only are they not talking about it, they're not, North Korea's not returning calls. I talked about this with Waj a couple weeks ago. North Korea's like, hello, who is this? New number. They are a new phone. They're just not communicating with the United States anymore. There is evidence now that they're continuing to build on nuclear capability. But like the layers in this short little tweet, like here's what took my breath away. Number one, first of all, thank you for this kind action. Okay, fine, fair, whatever. First of all, nobody has any idea what's in these boxes, okay? Even Mattis said
they're American human remains at this point.
They do think that now?
Yeah.
At this point, okay. So there's apparently the remains of about 5,300 American servicemen still in North Korea. 55 have come back. I guess maybe they're starting to do the forensic testing. But here's the thing. Instead of making this actually about the service, those people, their families, the nation, he goes, thank you for your nice letter. I look forward to seeing you soon. Like he is responding to a housewarming gift or something. That it's always centered around him. Like what he's trying to convey, what he wants to tell the world is Kim wrote me a nice letter. Kim wrote me a nice letter. That makes him feel good about himself.
Well, and the North Koreans are using that to their advantage because at the last attempt to have dialogue between the Americans and the North Koreans, everything seemed okay. The Americans left. The North Koreans are like, how dare the American, representatives, disobey Trump's, commands and not make us work better. your leader, Trump, has...
Trump's great, damn skippy.
Yeah, a great plan for this. And yet the American representatives here in North Korea were not, fulfilling his vision. So he's trying to drive a wedge there by constantly praising Trump and constantly calling him the best and blaming everyone around him for things not working.
Okay. Also last week, it got really hot over here. It got not just hot here, but there's been record-breaking temperatures across the globe in the last couple of weeks, obviously, for rational, normal people, climate change. A friend of mine who's in France, she's not in the subcontinent of India. She's in France. She shared a picture on Facebook where she showed the temperature at 114 degrees in the south of France. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. That is obviously leading to things like wildfires being out of control. So Trump, taking it upon himself because he can fix all his shit and he knows everything, tweets, I think just this morning in the last day or so, a couple of tweets about these wildfires happening in California. First he goes, California wildfires are being magnified and made so much worse by the bad environmental laws, which aren't allowing massive amount of readily available water to be properly utilized. It is being diverted into the Pacific Ocean. Also must tree clear to stop fire spreading.
Tree clear now.
Tree clear.
As is tree clear now.
Yes. This happened a couple of hours after the administration declared California wildfires to be a major disaster. So he tweeted this yesterday. This is Monday. Today's Monday while we're recording this. And then after that tweet, he said, Governor Jerry Brown must allow the free flow, capitalized, must be some kind of signal to QAnon, of the vast amounts of water coming from the north and foolishly being diverted, he means rivers, by the way, into the Pacific Ocean, can be used for fires, farming, and everything else. Think of California with plenty of water. Nice. Fast federal government approvals. It's like a check cashing commercial.
It's... History books are going to recall this as humanity's last desperate chance where they could have done something to divert global warming.
Oh, it's over.
Or to preserve,
dude, it's over.
Preserve the world. We're busy dealing with Trump.
Yeah, I'm convinced the ship has sailed. I'm convinced at this point, given where we are with this government, that there's just no – we can't. The window of opportunity is almost completely gone now.
Stop the Nazis or do you stop from burning? What are we going to do?
Which one is it? I think, we're going to lose a lot of species, endangered species in the next few.
That'll be the least
we know that
concerns.
He's exactly right. Sadly, it is. But so the one thing he won't blame is climate change. And I think the ship on climate change, I think it's just we all just have to prepare for. I'm looking at tundras in Canada somewhere to move to at some point. But obviously, California, Jerry Brown was first I don't want to respond to this shit, but then they responded to it. California, Cal Fire said it had no idea what Trump's tweets were referring to. We have plenty of water for the firefight. They're like, that's not what this shit is about. This shit is about such a tremendous lack of moisture, that has been ongoing forever in the environment, in the soil. It's about climate change. There's a climate expert, Peter Glake, tweeted that Trump's explanation was gobbledygooky shit and unmitigated crap, and said that the forests are burning because of past severe drought, current extreme temperatures and weather worsened by human-caused climate change. So that happened. And then, so Trump's been tweeting a lot. You know, there was an article that was out this morning, I think, about, oh, I can't remember by who, and I haven't read it yet, but I just saw the headline. I was like, saving for later, that Trump's tweets will do him in, although I don't know anymore. But speaking of that, he tweeted something a couple of days ago, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, I wonder what Susan's thinking. This is what he tweeted. He goes, fake news reporting, a complete fabrication, always over the weekend, that I'm concerned about the meeting my wonderful son Donald had in Trump Tower. This was a meeting to get information on an opponent, totally legal and done all the time in politics, and it went nowhere. I did not know about it. So, admission, what happened here?
Well, I mean, it's clearly a lie, because Trump would never call his son wonderful. Not that son, anyway.
Don Jr., you think he's the one that's out on the...
Yeah. Yeah, Don Jr. Can never deny this tweet. He can never claim it's not true, because he won't deny the one time Daddy gave him affirmation.
So which meeting are we talking about here? June 2016?
June 9th, 2016, Trump Tower. I mean, this is not the first time Trump's acknowledged it was about getting dirt on Hillary Clinton, quote unquote, but it's definitely the first time in a while he's talked about it. And he is basically making it clear that if anything happens to his son and not to him, he is throwing his son under the bus here.
Mm-hmm. And this is the meeting that Cohen says, I was there. Like, he knew about it. I was with Trump when he was informed about this.
This is like what he's doing here is like incidentally hurting his son and throwing him under the bus. But the real purpose here is to say, I am not concerned about the meeting. I am not worried about it. I never was concerned about it, which would be a defense to obstruction. He's going to try and set up a claim that like none of his actions regarding this meeting could have been obstruction because
he didn't care about it.
Yeah, you have to have an intent to stop justice. If you're not actually worried about it, then you're not obstructing anything. So he's basically just like trying to say like, I'm innocent because I wasn't trying to crime when I did that. I was just trying to.
Could this be the only smart legal move he's ever made?
No, it's not even a smart legal move. It's not evidence. You can't just say I wasn't criming and then be like, see, I'm innocent.
I wasn't criming.
So, yeah, that seems to be his purpose, here, like what his goal was, but it's not gonna, I mean, God.
Well, the goalposts keep shifting here. You know, first it's like, I didn't know about it, didn't happen. Okay, it happened, but I didn't know about it. Of course I knew about it. Whatever. Anyway, the next one will be, I did know about it, but it's totally legal, so it doesn't matter. That's the next step, I think, is what we're moving to. So, anyway, anything else caught your eye, Susan?
Well, all right. A ton of stuff did, but wouldn't it wait till next week to do a full recap on the Manafort trial, assuming it does wrap up by then.
Sounds good. All right. Well, Susan, I know you're not feeling well this week, so everybody send good vibes to Susan. Hope she gets better soon. Thanks for toughing it through, though, this whole hour. And listeners, we'll be back in 7 days. Thanks for joining us today.
A big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan. We have been produced by Long Arc Digital Media, and you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is at 45th Pod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.